Now we're live.
I said I was playing with my dog, patting my neighbor's dog the other day, and he popped a boner. That made me.
You're just that good.
Dogs do that. It's not you.
I don't like boy dogs.
Well, the scary thing about it was I didn't notice until it bumped up against my arm.
Yeah.
It was bumping up against your leg. Weird.
Hi, C90. I love you. No. It's a little fucking yip-yip rodent dog.
Those are the worst.
It's always so awkward, like, giving belly rubs to a boy dog. Can I just say that? Like, you're like, oh, where do I, you know.
I can give you some lessons, Brita. You just have to come over to my house.
You don't have a dog.
No, but I don't.
He can show you where to rub.
But my stomach is very hairy.
Oh, okay.
Oh, we're starting off good.
Oh, yeah.
Right proper.
Are we on the air?
Yeah, we're on the air.
Okay.
We'll start right off with 14th semester. 14th trimester abortions. Oh, wait a minute. That's what it was. Trayvon Martin was a 51st trimester abortion. That's all it is.
Yep.
I don't know why the left is getting so upset about it.
Did you do the math on that?
I did. Yeah. 17. It's three trimesters. It's 51. Geez.
I guess technically it'd
be a 54th trimester abortion.
If I can take a moment and delve into geekery for just a minute, you'll have to indulge me because I'm going to do it anyway. I was playing with this. Apparently, there's a. And I'm kind of like, it's like, you know, hitting myself on the head with a hammer. I don't know why I do this. Because, you know, we've had so many problems with the audio and streaming and crap like that. Well, I read this, you know, these Google Hangouts has a thing where it streams to YouTube.
What?
Live.
No.
You can. And I was playing with it. I was like, oh, that'd be cool. Because, you know, we could do it as an audio Google Hangout and then have it stream live to YouTube, which is free.
I'm not doing video.
And then, no, not video. Oh, you turn the video off. It's audio only. But then I was listening to it and it's like a freaking 1 minute delay. And I was like, oh, that's not.
Oh, that would be, ugh, no.
So it's like you're, you know, these days, and we'll get into this, you know, the whole cryptography and NSA and stuff later, but, you know, it's like, you know, JN said, oh, Google's evil. You know, it's like, well, Google's evil. Skype is evil because, you know, Microsoft owns them now and, you know, apparently has made it, you know, connected a fiber pipe to the NSA.
Now with even more evil.
Yeah. And it's like, what the hell do you do? You know, you want a decent. It's like everything's shit now. And on that high note.
I pooped today.
All right. See, everything is shit.
Twice, actually. It was a two for today.
I did it at Target.
Oh. Ooh, dropping a deuce at Target.
That's almost as good as doing it at work.
Now, doing it at work is better because work at least screens the general public. Well, I guess Breeders doesn't. But.
Yeah.
No.
I had a spectacular one at work the other day, and it was fantastic. It was one of those. Man, this one's taking a while, but I'm making money.
There you go.
I'm getting paid to poop.
Earn while you poop. And on that note. Hey, look at there. It's Thursday, August 1st.
Wow.
2013. August 1st already. Summer, she has disappeared.
Yep.
Which is funny because it actually just started, but it seems like it's disappearing. It's like whoosh, gone.
How's that again?
Whoosh.
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 And I screwed up
approximation.
A ton of surgical logs this morning filling in that it was still July.
Yeah.
Just kept right. 7. Shit. 8.
At least 7 turns into an 8 pretty easy.
It did, actually. I turned every 7 into an 8, so it wasn't that big of a deal, but it was making me grouchy because I had a horrible case of the don't want us today.
wonder if our is our audio even working. Let's see.
It turns into an 8 pretty
People
easy.
Are saying the audio
it did actually. I turned every 7 into an 8, so it wasn't that big of a deal, really, but it was making me grouchy. Hey, that's me.
A
horrible case of the don't wanna.
Yep, audio's working fine.
Good.
I sound sexy.
Yep.
Yes, always.
If you can't hear the audio, it's your problem.
It's all you.
The stream is working fine.
But I'm talking to you from the past.
Yep.
People are getting nervous. Don't mess with the audio. Don't touch it.
I kind of hate to start to keep harping on this geeky stuff, but you know, y'all wouldn't believe what a pain in the ass and how complicated it is to stream this shit live. It is literally the computer equivalent of duct tape and baling wire. And when it breaks, it's like, oh fuck, it's a huge pain in the ass. But I do it for all of you.
Oh.
No, Alan, you do it for you because an internet radio call-in show has always been your dream. Don't fuck it up.
Yes, it's always
been. Well, he's done two so far.
Yeah, right? I know.
And Alan,
you must like it.
Yeah, I'm just crazy that way. So anyway, I actually, you know what? If anybody's got a better suggestion, I'd be really happy to hear it. But I don't think anything that works better actually.
This is the least shitty setup.
It is. It really is. Cause we've, you know, I mean, you know, outside of spending a shit ton of money and, which, you know, ain't going to happen.
We could take on an ass load of corporate sponsors.
Yeah. See, the problem with corporate sponsors is they want like a lot of listeners, which we don't have.
We got a ton of.
We could. If we were only sponsored by.
Yeah.
Who would sponsor us?
Nobody.
What's a good vodka company?
And frankly, if someone offered, I wouldn't take it. So.
It would depend. If they drove a dump truck full of money up to my house, I'd wear their damn jersey, too.
Oh, you know who we need is Jim Beam Bourbon. Not only do they make that stellar piece of paint remover, Old Crow, but I didn't realize how big Jim Beam is. They make they make Jim Beam, of course, and all the variants of Jim Beam. They make Booker's, which is goddamn the best bourbon on the goddamn planet. Oh my god! And but they also make Knob Creek, which I'm not a fan of.
No,
but they make not really. It's a little bitter.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah, they make Basil Hayden, which holy shit, that's a tasty bourbon.
Well, anyway. Man, it's like topic palooza today.
I know. We have a bunch of stuff to cover in our 1 hour.
Yeah. It actually, I'll give you fair warning, it may extend past an hour today.
Yeah, because you're all spun up about whatever.
I'm spun up. I've got tabs open. And
oh,
I swear
my God.
To God,
you did homework.
I'm spun up at like
tabs full of women.
14 different
flashbacks.
I got tabs. I'm spun up about 14 different things right now. It's just
wow.
Like, ah.
But first, before we get spun up.
Do you have notes?
Well, sort of.
Wow.
I have beer.
I have tabs.
And speaking thereof, I need more beer.
So anyway,
but
go
before
ahead,
we
Weird.
Get going, I want Brita to talk about her Renaissance summer camp.
Yeah, that was actually going to be the first topic was
Renaissance sleepaway camp.
What Brita did on her summer vacation?
Yeah, my very very brief summer vacation, too brief. It's because I wasted all of my vacation days in Texas.
Those were so not wasted.
No, they weren't wasted, but you know, I only get a number of days per year, and so I had a very short visit to Penzic this year, and I think I was there like about 3.5 days. And do I have to tell everybody what Penzic is, are we all geeky enough to know
what Penzic is? We know what it is. Go ahead.
Okay, it's SEA, and they have the big Penzic War in Pennsylvania, and it happens to be like a little over 2 hours away from my house. So I'm friends with people who have been going camping at Penzic for like 20 years, and they invited me out. And this is my third year, and it was wonderful. And, you know, it was kind of weird, Penzic, because it was cold. The other years I've been there, it was really hot, like, you know, sweaty, sticky, terrible hot. But this year it was close. I think Saturday, Sunday night, I was sitting around the fire wearing a sweater, God damn it, in July. Jay likes that. I don't like that. I'm unhappy with the weather. But anyway, so we had a good time. I don't know. We just, like, drank bourbon, ate steak, went around and shopped at the medieval merchant area. We wear garb. It's part of the deal. The camp that I stay at, I'm like, so lucky to stay at this camp. I feel so blessed because it's totally hooked up. We have hot and cold running water. We have, like, actual beds in the tents. It's beautiful. It's really wonderful. And I don't know.
Medieval glamping.
It's totally glamping. It really is. And I feel very lucky to be able to go and hang out with some of my best friends ever. So it's wonderful.
Talk more about the drinking.
There's lots of drinking. Every night, drinking around the fire. Drinking, beer and drinking and bourbon. And last year there was Goldschlager. And everybody was very amused at me with the Goldschlager because I had, like, you know, gold glitter in my mouth. So, you know, sitting around the campfire, they're like, open your mouth. And they're all looking at my mouth with flashlights. You know, it's like goofy fun. And you get drunk and you hang out and then you go pass out in your tent. Fun. I had a cool new cocktail thanks to Chris and Laura, my friends. People might know them from the blogs. Fallen Phoenix. She blogs under Fallen Phoenix. But anyway, so a cool new cocktail that I've never had. A new old cocktail. Chris, apparently, one of his hobbies is, like, doing vintage cocktails. And so they brought kind of like a traveling bar with them, and they had all this liquor. We had more liquor than usual this year. And I had what they call an aviation, and it was my very first gin cocktail that I have had because, you know, I smell gin and it smells like perfume to me and I just don't want to drink it. But it was a mixed drink, and an aviation is gin, lemon juice, something else, and creme de violette, which is made with violets. And the drink itself is like this cloudy, beautiful purple color, and it's delicious. So now I'm trying to, like, find this creme de violette. I don't know if I can buy it around here or find it online or something. It's a little sweet, but it's like a refreshing sweet. It's not cloying. It's a very pleasant drink to drink. So highly recommended is creme de violette. Apparently, I'm drinking absinthe tonight, and creme de violette is kind of like that same time frame where, you know, it kind of went out of fashion and they stopped producing it. And, you know, absinthe was very scandalous because of the wormwood and whatever. But apparently the violette just kind of went out of fashion and they stopped making it. But it's coming back now, these old cocktails. And it was a lot of fun. So yeah. So that was my Pensac experience. I bought a new belt. I bought a new dress.
No new knives?
No new knives. I know. I looked at a lot of knives, but, you know, I'm at the point now, like, what sort of knife do I really need, you know?
Something big.
I know. I know. I'm at the point now where I'm like, okay, I've got a lot of pocket knives, a lot of little hand knives. What I probably need now is a sword.
A short sword.
A short sword? Yeah, you're funny.
I call it Sting.
You're funny.
Hobbit reference.
Hobbit.
Rita, I think you need a claymore.
I'm still taller than all of the kids in camp. I'll have to know.
Good.
Just
so Brenda, I just looked it up. The aviation, it is a true cocktail.
Yes,
and it is gin, lemon juice, maraschino liqueur, which I also have played around with, and this creme de violette.
Yes, and it's beautiful. So
it was a fun time.
We have a caller.
Yay, it's
Jason.
Excellent. I was ready to make him call.
You there, Jason?
I am here, and I did think of something profound.
Oh. Excellent.
Well, actually, two things profound. The first one is that it is very good that George Zimmerman has finally been able to find a state that Al Sharpton is too afraid to come down and mess with him.
I have to admit, I was kind of excited to find out he was in Texas. I was like, yay, good. Go, George Zimmerman. Good for you.
Yeah. And I was on one of the Facebook posts, they were saying, well, that's a surprise that a Hispanic who shot a black person came to Texas. And I'm like, no, it's not. That's a typical Saturday night in Houston.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Kind of is.
So anyway, well, George, we're glad to have you. We're glad and well healed.
Yep. See, this is why I want you to call in, Jason.
Mm-hmm. And also, I must note that the whole big quote unquote scandal of the whole thing was that he had a gun in his glove compartment, and the pure nature of the scandal should be noted by the 100% zero shits given by the trooper who pulled him over.
He didn't
even give him, just gave him a warning, said watch your speed.
Didn't care at all.
Yeah. DPS has a rule about that. It is, as long as you don't touch yours, we won't touch ours.
That's what Matt Guest says.
Yep. That's a pretty good rule.
Oh, my.
Second profound thought about. Oh, okay. Oh, the second profound thing I thought about today was that I'm really wondering if Bradley Manning is sitting in his cell, kicking himself, not using all those frequent flyer miles to fly to Russia.
Yeah, that could be.
Yeah, but the difference is Manning's just a dumbass who, you know.
Yeah, Bradley Manning was used. Snowden was at least smart enough that he's getting paid off pretty well for what he did.
Well, he also made Snowden also made sure that he didn't release anything that revealed anything operational or organizational, you know, as far as, you know, stuff that could actually hurt somebody, which Manning didn't give a shit. He just threw this stuff out there, and it had, you know, names and places and all kinds of stuff, you know. So
that's true, but I would imagine Snowden probably has that kind of information too. And that's probably the reason why he's still alive.
Well, yeah, but he didn't release it. So he's, you know, he's got his whole cards, right? You know, that's probably, you know.
Dead man switch.
Yep. Well, he has already released an encrypted file and made provisions that, it, you know, the key will be released should he cease to exist. So... Of course, the danger of that is that the people that want the contents of that file might just kill him just to get it. But, you know, I guess he's going to have to deal with that.
Yeah, but I just put a link up in chat of the latest thing Drudge has. Apparently, NSA has been paying off British spies, too. So this thing's going to get really wild really quick. I think that's probably, I mean, if anything, Russia has been able to come out of this like a champ, because they probably have the one asset that is probably the most American prestige, both at home and abroad. They can really play this up.
Well, you know, that and their president's not a fucking pussy.
Hey, now you leave President Mom Jeans alone.
I mean, he's a bastard. He's an evil bastard. But, you know,
he wrestles bears for fun.
Uh oh.
A lot to be said for evil bastards, I guess. Hey, thanks for calling, Jason.
Thank you. Good to hear from y'all.
Thanks, Jason.
So are we going to go there now with the abortion thing?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
I just figured we've gone long enough. Now it's time to hear Jay stroke out.
Well, I want to start this off by saying we're not going to talk about the pros and cons of abortion, because I don't really want to feel like having that argument. But I think this was an interesting article, and it was in the show post that Brita did, and I will put it in chat as well. This is from the UK, of course, but you know, if you don't think it's being looked at here, then you're crazy. This is the end result of when the government pays for your healthcare. There's a policy. It was actually an article in the Journal of Medical Ethics where these doctors say, you know what, newborn babies, they're not really people.
No.
They can't talk. They can't walk. You know, nobody remembers being a baby anyway. So
they
you know
don't
what?
Vote Democrat.
Yeah, you want to kill them? It's okay. So, the afterbirth abortion.
I don't like the word afterbirth. Let's say postbirth.
That's what they said in the article.
Afterbirth is something else.
I know, but they were,
to be fair, this is a technique that is widely used in civilized bastion of progressive society, China.
Yes,
right.
Yes,
they get extra large forceps there.
So basically, what this is this is about money. And this is what happens when the state pays for your health care, because, you know, from the state's point of view, if you can't, you know, it's cost benefit analysis, right?
Right.
If you are disabled or there's something wrong with you such that the cost of taking care of you is going to exceed your worth to the state.
Yeah.
They will kill you.
Yes.
And whether you're old, you know, death panels. Thank you.
Sarah Palin,
who was right.
I don't think death panels are necessarily if you're old. I think they are.
They're for anything.
Any sort of
right, but you know,
infirmity.
When you stop working and you retire, and then you go, you go in the hospital, and it's going to cost $100,000 plus to fix you. They're going to go, here, take a pill.
Right. You know, this topic really is hard for me because. I was born visibly disabled. You know, when I came out, it was pretty apparent there was something wrong with this baby. And just on the surface, they didn't know if I was smart or stupid or anything, but there was something definitely wrong with this baby. And so this topic is a little touchy for me because I think about, value of life, where it is value, is my value based basic, like just on how many limbs I have and Alan has it right. It's just an economics thing. When it comes to the state, they look at how much are you going to cost them for upkeep and, you know, that sort of thing. So that is basic, basic economics.
Yep.
That is what human life is worth.
And if you think the parents are going to have a choice, forget about
it. Right. And I just think, all the little Britas getting born in some future date, will not even get a chance, just because they don't want to pay for prosthetics or surgeries or whatever. I don't know. It's a touchy subject for me, and I think that anybody who knows anybody who was born with a birth defect or disabled in some way or whatever. I mean, where does it end, really?
I just posted a picture of me a few days after I was born in chat. I was teeny weeny. I could not have survived on my own. So therefore, I was just a lump of cells.
Yeah. Right. How many weeks were you when you were born?
I was born at 7 months.
Seven months. Okay.
So actually, I was.
So I guess Alan's the only one that would have made it.
Huh?
Jay, were you born early?
I wasn't born early. I had a hole in my heart.
Oh, no shit. I never heard about that.
Yep.
See, this is why cousins shouldn't marry, folks.
You start rename this podcast The Rejects.
Right.
Tell me this story, Jay. I've never heard this one.
He had a hole in his heart.
What else is there? Fuck you, Alan. I want Jay to spin me a yarn where they plugged up the hole.
I really don't know that much about it, other than it was fixed and it got better. And the only lingering fact is I have a heart murmur.
Actually, that whole thing's not that uncommon in kids. I mean, it's not an everyday thing, but
and the doctor just tried to kill my mother because he's like, oh yeah, he's got a hole in his heart. My mother's like, whoa, what?
Yeah.
He's like, no, it's
things,
all right. Don't
things
worry.
To not say to a new mother.
Yeah.
Do they have to yeah, pick exactly. you up? Or what do they do to repair it, Jay?
I was a newborn. I don't remember.
Needle and thread, man. Needle and thread.
Apparently.
Bottle of candy.
Sew that sucker up. So, yeah, this is what happens when you give the government control over your health care.
Yeah.
It's only going to get worse. I mean, this is the tip of the iceberg. I mean, you've heard the horror stories from the NHS in the glorious United Kingdom. You know, people starving to death.
Can we make a quick tie into the whole IRS scandal too?
Sure.
I mean, because let's face it. You know, this is not a government that where you live in a vacuum and you are just it's all mathematics. You might have the wrong belief system, and that may factor in to to how the government takes care of you.
Yeah, you're not a Democrat. You go to the end of the line.
Yeah, and if you're not connected to the right people, sorry. You know, if you're Alan and I talked about this week, where you know it's if you. Know you're going to be having a disabled child. I mean, because, you know, with ultrasounds and stuff now, it's babies who are born like I was, parents know about it beforehand and they can prepare. But, you know, in this kind of eventual future, what is a parent going to do? The state will say, well, you need to either abort your baby or kill your baby after it's born. And do you need a waiver for that? I mean, how do you get a waiver, right? And it's already happening in Great Britain. The percentage of babies who are born in Great Britain with Down syndrome is markedly less than in the United States. It's because doctors push the mothers under this guise of, oh, the baby will have terrible, terrible quality of life, and it'll ruin your life, and it'll cost so much money, and it'll just be a hardship on everybody. And what kind of life is that for a person?
So
the mothers go and they abort these beautiful Down syndrome babies.
Well, even worse
now,
than that.
I just want to make a point here that Down syndrome people... I work in a library where Down syndrome people have jobs. They come in every morning and they clean the library. I can't say that for like 60% of my patrons. They don't have fucking jobs. These Down syndrome people come in and they clean things and they empty the garbage for us and they're lovely people. I can't say that for like, well, you know what? It's over 60%. I'm sorry.
We're actually discussing this in the hospital. One of the doctors that I work with was doing some research on Down syndrome, and was actually noting that as a general rule, Down syndrome, you know, he's not really no one's really sure the connection, but as a general rule, they are disabled, but they are also notoriously delightful. They're just generally sweet and easygoing and good people. And I must say that with the exception of a couple of them that were probably poorly raised would be my gross observation, are absolutely wonderful people.
Except for the 1% that turned into Reavers.
I think it's a little different than that, Alan.
Oh, Lord. Alan.
Oh, God, that was geeky. That was geeky-ass deep cut right there.
That call-in number, folks.
Yeah,
yes, 214. Please call in.
We actually have a caller.
Good.
Well, we had another one. Maybe he'll come back. Anyway, here's...
Oh, the first thing got him to hang up.
This is Dennis.
Hello, I know that, folks. Dude.
How's everybody?
We're doing
He's
fine.
He's making me a cod piece.
What?
I'm going to be making him a cod piece if he takes me up on the offer of wearing it.
Wait, you're making Jay a cod piece?
Look at Jay's. Go and look at okay. Maroon.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, there's
make sure to cut it extra snug, Alan.
That's one of the ones that I made for the sequel Hot Tub Time Machine 2.
Oh, my
Thanks,
God.
Thanks, Alan.
Yes, they actually filmed a sequel. It just wrapped up. Production filming, and I got the letter in the mail saying to all the vendors, going, if you have any outstanding invoices, please send them now because post production is going to last like 3 or 4 weeks, and then we're done.
That's awesome.
Jay, is that
going to
fit?
The first one.
It's not that one.
I'm sorry. I just got back from the Middle Ages. I haven't caught up on my blog reading.
But, you know, to what you were just talking about.
Yes.
With the healthcare thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've got this feeling just because we're Americans and we like to tell the government to go fuck itself.
Not lately.
The majority of us do.
Okay.
Slim majority, but it's a majority nonetheless. How many people do you think will actually say, you know what, screw it, I'm going to opt out of this health system, fuck mm-hmm. you, and just go off-grid and go back to just birthing babies in their homes? You know, they'll hire, what are the...
Witchcraft. The
midwives.
Witchcraft.
Midwife, right. They'll get a midwife, you know, somebody who work under the table. Everything's going to be off the books, off the grid. And kids will be born. And I really think that if you push Americans that far by saying, we're going to decide that this one's going to live, that one's going to die, they're going to say, fuck you, and they're just going to revert back. I mean, it's going to be like going back to the Stone Age.
You know, for...
I would hope that at that point it would be like...
Go ahead.
Heads on pipes.
It's not even the Stone Age, Dennis. Until you know, gosh, 50 years ago, most women didn't have... They didn't go to hospitals to have kids.
Yeah. No,
that's,
you didn't.
That's so recent. It's a blip.
Well, I was born in a hospital, and I'm 53. But that was in the city. In the suburbs, you're correct. You didn't go to the hospital. You had the kid at home. You know, doctors still made house calls. I remember doctors making house calls.
Gosh, you know, I remember doctors making house calls. It was kind of rare when I was a kid, but I remember it happening.
I really do think it's going to go off-grid. I think that doctors are going to opt out, and they're going to say, you know what? Screw this insurance shit. I can charge a reasonable rate, mm-hmm. and if somebody wants to sue me, fine. I'll just go out of business. You know, doctors cannot afford liability insurance. We really need to get rid of lawyers.
Doctors are already going off the grid. There are many, many doctors who are setting up. They're not taking Medicare, Medicaid patients. They're not taking insurance. They're taking cash.
Oh, yeah.
And
it's happening all over.
Yeah.
There was, when I was first married, first time around, living in South Jersey, you know, I was working in Philly at a minimum wage job, and, you know, my wife at the time, she was working a minimum wage job, and, you know, we had a house and started a family, and it was very, very difficult to make ends meet. There was a doctor in the town that we lived in. He was Mennonite, not Amish, Mennonite, a little bit different, but he's a doctor, he went to school, he had his practice. And this is back in 1989, 1990. The sign on his door, a doctor's visit is $8. If you need an injection, that's $5. I don't take insurance. I don't take insurance. I'm not going to say that I can cure you or anything else. You're in God's hands. This is a very devout guy. if God wants you to live, you're going to live. I'm just here to help him out. That was a sign when you walked in. And literally, for $13, you could be deathly ill with the flu. He would come out to your house for an extra buck for the house call. So $14, he would come, make the house call, give you an injection right there with his little black doctor's bag. It was fantastic. Fantastic. And the medical profession ran him out of town because they just weren't going to put up with that.
It's like gangs of rogue doctors. Did they have, like, chain stethoscopes?
No, it was you know, like a combination of it was a combination of the insurance companies, and at that time was the consolidation of all the health care things, like, you know, West Jersey healthcare system, South Jersey health, you know, all these, and they tried to get more doctors into the network, and he just refused, and little by little, you know, the patients just, you know, and most, mainly it was older patients, and they all started dying off, and he didn't have enough to keep the practice going, and so he left. But he was a very, very good doctor, and it wasn't expensive. You can afford to have a doctor see you. It was really good, and I think that's going to happen again. People are going to go off the grid.
It's like any other service, right?
Yep.
You go to your mechanic and you pay them. You get your house roof fixed. You pay the guy. Right. It's like anything, you know, it's like a service.
Yep.
I don't understand why it's like this.
It's like this because of the wage freezes around World War II.
Yep.
They had wage freezes during World War II, and companies needed to compete for the thin talent pool that wasn't sucked up by the army. So they couldn't pay people more. So they said, "Hey, we'll pay for medical insurance." These perks like that started being, you know, the non-monetary way of competing for employees.
Right, and then the union started insisting on it, and it became standard practice. When you got a job, you got health insurance.
Right. It started off being actual insurance, which, you know, hospitalization, catastrophic care insurance. It was actual, because what we have today is not insurance. This is basically somebody else pays for your medical bills. You know,
exactly.
And insurance these days, you know, unless you've got one of these really, you know, companies that pay for everything, which is damn rare, you know, for a family to have insurance, you're looking at, you know, $15,000 a year. Well, Jesus Christ, $15,000 a year pays for a lot of damn doctor care.
Sure it does, but it's all, they're all, insurance companies that, remember, is in it for the profit.
Sure.
You're going to pay 15 grand, and they're going to tell you, you've got the first 3,000 out of pocket.
Right, exactly.
To meet your minimum.
So,
and you're going to dish out another 15 grand out of pocket before your insurance kicks in.
Yep.
You're just handing them 15 grand a year in case something catastrophic happens to you.
Right.
10 or 12 years down the road, they've already collected, oh goodness, $1.5 million, you know, or $180,000
right.
from you. They've invested it. They've turned that into more money. They can afford to take care of you then.
Yep.
It's the only reason that you hang on to it. It's a Ponzi scheme, and we're the ones stupid enough to pay it.
And now that you can't get catastrophic care insurance because it doesn't meet the Obamacare minimum standards. Used to be you could pay, for a few hundred bucks a year, you could get, you know, what was called a catastrophic hospitalization plan, which, you know, as long as you weren't, you know, on death's door, basically, you know, it was, you know, it had like a $10,000 deductible. So, you know, in case you were in a horrible car accident or, you know, whatever, you know, and you had to go be in the hospital for a month, you were covered. You know, you had a huge deductible, but that made it, you know, cheap and affordable. And frankly, that's really what people are worried about, you know, is the, you know, whatever it is that makes you, you know, have to go bankrupt to pay your medical bills.
Sure. You know, and you're right. We've gone from a system of insurance, because I remember when I was growing up, I was about 7, 8 years old when I remember first, you know, asking my mom and dad about it, you know, what's this insurance stuff? And they're like, it's Blue Cross and Blue Shield, and it's in case you have to go to the emergency room or you're in an accident and it costs you thousands of dollars, you know, because you had a heart attack. Otherwise, we pay to go see the doctor. And I remember that being explained to me when I was 6 or 7.
Yep.
You know, and how it went from, and I think, personally, I think it's been planned that way, that it's a slow creep toward government. It was a slow creep started in the 70s toward a socialist mindset of we'll just sneak a little bit more, and something that wasn't a disease is now called a disease, so that way a doctor will cover it and insurance will cover it, because there's things that we call a disease isn't really a disease. Heart disease.
You mean like being fat?
No, that's because heart disease is because you eat too many freaking Big Macs and you got plaque buildup. That's not heart disease. That's not a bacterial infection, a disease, a virus infection that you catch. That's something you do to yourself, but they call it a disease, so that insurance will pay for it.
Mm-hmm. Hey, we got more callers, Dennis.
From bad
yeah,
hair
I know.
Disease.
I sound like a freak.
How's that?
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll talk
Here's
to
my
you.
Minoxidil.
Have a great night.
All right, bye.
No, we're talking
about
this Obamacare.
You're not supposed to spray the minoxidil all over your back.
We're talking about this Obamacare thing today. I just suffered through an hour-long webinar.
Ugh.
About how libraries can assist patrons in accessing information and registering for Obamacare. Woo!
Yay!
I need a new job, people. Somebody get me a new job.
Get ready for this. Excuse me. Where are the Obama forms?
I'm sorry. Yeah, you know, it's
online. There aren't any forms.
No, there are going to be forms.
Really?
I thought
it was all online.
Oh, yeah. There's going to be forms in Spanish and English.
Damn
and
it.
They're going to roll out Obamacare on October 1st, and we're not going to have the fucking forms. Excuse my French.
Of course yes. You won't have the forms. Hey, we got another call.
They're going to say, oh, yay. You know, it's like January 1st every fucking year. It's like tax time. Everybody comes in for the tax forms. We don't have the fucking forms because the government doesn't send us the forms until the last goddamn minute. So this is what's going to happen. So October 1st until March of 2014 is the first enrollment period for Obamacare. And your friendly neighborhood librarian is supposed to help you. I don't know. It's basically like I've decided I'm going to just say, here's the website. Good luck. I don't care.
And we have a caller.
Good.
Area code 484. Hello.
I think you're talking to Jay-Ann.
Are you going to sing a song? Sing a song.
No, you're there's a delay.
I'm not going to sing a song. I'm calling to complain about insurance, God damn it.
All right, now you can turn down your audio in the background. We can hear it.
For all of the, you know, talking about government inefficiency in insurance and how that's going to be, you know, grafted into our medical insurance, I can tell you that the husband was on duty. He's a federal officer on duty chasing a suspect down, and she ran over him with her SUV.
What?
And we had to sue the government to pay his medical bills. And
oh,
he had the gold-plated federal insurance plan that was supposed to cover everything.
Uh-huh.
And this was in 1996. And now he has to have, and like three-quarters of his skull is now titanium. He has a rod in his leg. You know, she jacked him up. And you know what? They were, you know, he was on the sidewalk. He shouldn't have jumped in front of that SUV. And now he has to go back to have surgery again to get the rod removed, and they don't want to pay for it because it's over 10 years old.
That's pretty typical.
And when he started, his agency has changed names or alphabet soup tags like three times since then. So he still works for the same agency, but now they're called something else. So when we submit the forms, they say, yeah, that agency doesn't exist anymore, and you don't technically work for them, so we don't have to pay.
Nice.
So that's what y'all can look forward to under Obamacare, because
look at what the IRS said. IRS said, we don't want to be on Obamacare. They would know. They're the ones in charge of implementing it. They probably got to look at the requirements of what they'd be doing, and they were like, oh, hell no. We don't want that.
The rumor is to make Obamacare work, they're going to try to dump all the civil servants that they can into the system.
They have to.
To make them use it.
That's why the unions. That's why the unions are pissed too, because they're having to do the same thing.
In which case, I'm just going to walk out into the desert and die, because that'll be better.
Yep. Well, they're already talking about.
I'm going to treat myself with a razor blade and a bottle of tequila. It'll all be good.
They're already talking about all when Detroit goes through its bankruptcy, all the pensioners there are going to get dumped into Obamacare.
Oh.
Well, while I was doing the webinar today, I looked at my coworker who was in the room with me, and I said, I don't want to scare you or anything, but you know when they roll out this Obamacare thing, I bet you libraries are going to be one of the first places that dumps their health insurance and tells the employees, well, look, you know, we know how to navigate the website. Go ahead and sign up for your Affordable Care Act. And she looked at me. She's like, you think so? I was like, oh, yeah.
Everyone will.
Oh, yeah. Just
I
wait for it.
I guarantee it. Every company will. It'll be a straight up, you know, they'll look at the cost of their insurance currently. They'll look at the fine that they'll have to pay, which is a fraction of what it's costing them for insurance. And they'll go, bye.
So you're saying we need to move to the mountains of Montana to found the squirrel commune, and somebody needs to go to med school right fucking now.
Well, you know, I've heard of organizations of different sorts that it's been done before. I don't know if it's been done lately, but it used to be a very common practice that some organization like the Lions Club or the Rotary Club or whatever would give a scholarship to somebody to go to medical school. In return, they would treat the members of that club basically for free or for very cheaply. So,
well, you figure we've got lawyers, we've got gunsmiths, we've got tech people, we've got education people, we've got all of these people. We need a couple doctors. So who's going to bite the bullet and go?
Not me. I'm too old.
Speaking of biting the bullet, I mean, I'm no doctor, but man, I can wield a saw.
Well, the other thing is most, you know, probably 90% of stuff that a doctor does doesn't really have to be a doctor. So you get a good nurse or a good EMT, Kelly.
Yeah, but then he might have to see me naked, and that would be bad.
I'm a doctor.
See?
Y'all are not right tonight. Well, have a good evening. I'm going to go. I hear the ginger midget actually crawling out of bed, so I'm going to go upstairs and see what that's all about.
All right. Well, thanks for calling.
Thanks,
y'all.
Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Cool. All right. Well, I think we beat that one to death.
Yeah. You know what? Just kind of tying into the whole the government telling you what to do because it's good for your health. Because it's cheaper for them if you take care of yourself, correct? Right?
Yep, that's right.
The New York City giant soda ban has been declared unconstitutional. Dun, dun, dun. So Mayor Bloomberg can suck it. And I hope everybody's running out and get their big gulps, you know, full sugar soda.
Yeah,
what I'm super amused about is when Mayor Bloomberg steps down as mayor, he's gonna, he's gonna go national because all this like mayors against illegal guns nonsense and all of this stuff. You know that he's gonna be like, all right, now that I'm no longer mayor from New York, I'm gonna take this to the national scene. And he's suddenly gonna realize how fucking hated he is.
You think he's gonna step down?
Yeah, because Wiener up his butt.
Wiener's not gonna win. And Bloomberg, I bet you $1 Bloomberg goes, you know what? Just reelect me.
That would be pretty awesome.
He already did it once.
That'd be better than Wiener. That'd be better than Wiener with him just declaring himself God Emperor of
Mayor
of
for
York.
Life.
I'd like to see. I'd like to see the Democratic runoff nomination because I just want to see the headline of Bloomberg beats Wiener. Oh, I went there.
Yeah.
Is Wiener, like, is he really going to be, the, like, the next mayor of New York?
Only, if, only if they're stupid enough. Oh, wait.
It's New York
well.
City. Wow.
He's, apparently he's still in the lead. I don't know.
I'll have to go back and listen to last week's show.
Yep, Wiener's still slightly ahead.
Mm. It's never not funny.
It is. It's always funny.
I could do this
and I wanted to let me delve into the many topics I'm stewing about today.
Okay.
You know, this IRS scandal is turning into a really big deal, and the media is trying to ignore it as much as they can. But basically,
which IRS scandal?
Well, the whole thing is just one giant scandal, because what you have is the IRS being used to suppress the Republican turnout in the election.
I thought that the Republicans were doing that pretty damn well on their own.
Yeah, well.
I'm sorry, Alan. We must be reading different news, because I haven't heard dick all about the IRS scandal in weeks.
Well, that's because you're, I don't know, watching the news or something.
I'm sorry. I turned off my Alex Jones filter.
It's not getting reported. But yeah, it's getting closer and closer to the White House. It hit the council, the appointed what's his name, the IRS legal counsel.
Director?
It's the appointed position, blah, blah, blah. What's his name? He's got one of those weird, goofy names.
God Emperor.
And I'm drawing a blank on it now.
God Emperor.
Anyway.
Well, we can just pull back real quick and point out the fact that, look, everybody who's listening, do not elect politicians from Massachusetts, because they will be ultra progressive people no matter what party they're on.
Whoa.
Oh my goodness, somebody has a landline?
What?
Still exist?
Not me.
That was Jay.
It was Jay.
Jay, what are you doing?
Yeah, Jay, everyone's supposed to have cell phones now.
William Wilkins, that's who it is. IRS Chief Counsel William Wilkins. The scandals got to him. He was a direct political appointee by Obama, and he visited the White House for a lot. Visited the president on April 23rd of last year for a long time. IRS Commissioner Douglas Shulman visited the White House the very next day, and the day after that, Wilkins' office sent the IRS guidance on the Tea Party to the rest of the IRS. So...
Oh, and by the way, I got to make fun of Mike W. for not knowing what a rotary phone sounds like.
Oh, my God.
Ha ha, you're young.
I still have a rotary phone.
Yes, you do.
Actually, my rotary phone was hooked up to the landline as late as last year, actually, and it worked great. And it took a little bit more time, but... but it worked great.
Now it's being used as a boat anchor?
We have we have another caller. Area code 704.
Yeah,
hello.
It's a paperweight.
Hello, area. Hi.
Yeah.
You had a comment back. Yes, I have a rotary phone, and yeah, it works fine. And yes, I just called you on a voice over IP, but I still have a landline.
Who is this?
But yeah. Well, yeah, I'm old school.
What's your name?
Who is this?
Who is it?
I'm sorry?
Who are you? What's your name?
Hi, my name's Kelly.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi.
Thanks for calling.
Now, Kelly's.
Go ahead.
Not a problem. Well, there was a comment made about the government telling us, you know, how to live healthier and do this, do that. Well, apparently there's a flip side of that equation. I'm a smoker and I'm a drinker. So I am funding the federal government through oppressive taxes.
Yes, you are.
Oh, yes, you are.
And I will statistically die sooner, so I will not be a burden on the Social Security. So I don't hear anybody telling me that, you know, hey, I'm funding kids free lunch, whatever. And I have a disclaimer. I worked for a Reynolds Tobacco Company, and they always made a big deal of the millions of dollars federal excise tax
they
sent to the feds because they made cigarettes. So I don't hear any big honking outcry over all this. I'm funding the government, but I'm killing myself.
Good job.
Yeah, and Kelly has a very, very valid point. That there was a study came out a good while ago, and it's the exact same study as the motorcycle helmet laws, that in fact the laws enacted to attempt to, quote-unquote, lower the burden on health care costs because of injuries and disease. In fact, people who wear helmets while riding their motorcycle, in fact, cost the healthcare system a whole lot more because
they get themselves into a wreck.
They live, but they have a very high likelihood of being physically disabled, which costs a shitload of money.
And talk like Gary Busey.
And talk like Gary Busey. Holy shit! And cigarette smokers do indeed get, you know, cancer and emphysema and other diseases that cost money, but they definitely disappear faster than my 90-year-old grandmother, who wasn't actually that much of a burden, but you know, start, you know, just living for a very, very long time in a state where they need a lot of medical attention.
Yep.
Yes. Well, I have to preface all this with I live in North Carolina, which is a traditional tobacco state, and I worked for R.J. Reynolds, which is based in Winston-Salem.
You're still smoking restaurants there.
Yes. And so I don't hear any. I mean, the government, I mean, if they're telling me how many gallons of water I can flush from my toilet, what kind of light bulb I can have, I mean, where, you know, what you can eat, what you can't eat, this is just totally out of control.
We just wait till they start taxing fat and sugar.
Doomed.
Because they will.
Well, they're already, in North Carolina, which has the traditionally lowest tax rate on cigarettes in the nation, your average pack of cigarettes now here is, you know, $4 and some change. And we have the lowest tax rate. $2 of that goes to the state. Another dollar of that goes to the feds.
Wow.
Also, let me just add in, since we're talking about cigarette taxes, for those of us who are of the pseudo libertarian ilk, who are like, oh yeah, legalize drugs and tax the snot out of them. The number one contraband being smuggled in America right now is
cigarettes.
Tobacco products.
Yep. They're buying them in one state and loading them on trucks and hauling them to another one.
Oh, and yeah, well, we're funding that. You know, come down here to a JB's truck stop. You know, buy five cartons or 10 cartons or 20 cartons and head to New York.
Yep.
Absolutely. So, anyway, I've taken enough of y'all's time tonight.
Well, thanks for calling.
I am from North Carolina, and I can legally say y'all.
That's right.
So,
You get, like,
caller,
cheap cigarettes there.
I lived in North Carolina before I moved to Texas when I was a kid. Lived in Greensboro.
Oh, Greensboro, yeah. So you were part of the triad. High Point, Greensboro, Winston-Salem.
That's right. My dad worked for Lorillard in the 60s.
Oh, Greensboro, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And Lorillard is the premier people doing the electronic cigarettes now, which I found fascinating.
Huh.
So take that for what it's worth.
All right.
Enough of y'all's time. Good listening
Thanks
to y'all.
For calling,
Thanks,
Kelly.
Talk to you
Thanks,
soon.
Kelly.
Bye.
Cool.
Good call. A new person calling.
That's right. And now,
yes,
we have, it's either Roadkill or his buddy Sean. I don't know which one it is.
Hello.
It's Roadkill.
This is Roadkill.
Roadkill, what did you say earlier, Roadkill, about my posterior?
Ooh.
Well, I'd like to put my hand on it.
Well, who
among other things, but I figure the hand
I just wanted that to be on the air, so we didn't lose it in the chat.
I must have lost it in the chat.
Okay,
I'll have to go back to the blog.
Anyway,
I work for Walmart, as many people know, and I'm And thanks to Obamacare, we have gone to, instead of hiring, when we made new hires, we would have a 3-month evaluation period, at the end of which they get a raise, and then they get full time, you know, they get, you know, they be brought into the full staff. Well, gradually, of course, we've done away with our full time staff, and it's pretty much all part timers now. But now, all new hires are temps for a year. All new hires are a temp, unless they're management. They are become temps for a year. And pretty much anything that happens, I mean, if we keep them for a year, we put them on the staff, but it's probably not going to happen. They're able to work them full-time hours during this entire year. Anyone who's left into the Walmart staff who's brought into permanent status gets only part-time hours, 32 hours. But they can work these temps a full 40-hour week for an entire year.
Is it no benefit? Is it through another temp agency?
Is that how they're doing it?
I think it almost has to be through a temp agency that they bring people in like that, because if they're temp, even if they're temporary as the Walmart employees, it still counts under hours. But if it's through an outside temp agency, then you're right. They don't. They can work them full time. Hell, they can work them overtime, and they still don't have to pay insurance.
So it's not that great.
No, but that's the temporary. If you look at the employment statistics, there has been a decrease in the amount of full time, 40-hour a week plus employment, and there's been a decrease in the number of full time permanent employees. There's been a huge increase in the number of temporary and part time workers,
and it hurts because we can't keep the staff. I mean, even a place like Walmart, if we don't keep staff that knows what they're doing.
Yep.
We have people who have no loyalty to the company. They don't care. They'll toss it at the drop of a hat the second it gets hard. We can't get any kind of quality of workers. And the ones that are in count, they're not going to stay. And, you know, there's no reason for them to stay.
Well, no.
Come on. Vice must flow. I mean, it's Walmart. If Walmart goes down, if Walmart can't keep up, we're all fucked. Because if Walmart dies, everyone dies at this point.
Fuck them. They don't have ammo anyway.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, Emily in the chat said the biggest lie in employment is temp to perm, and that is true. I've heard that so many times. You know, that's a big come on to in the contracting field. You know, a lot of network engineering and programmers and stuff are like contractors, right? And so they dangle these. You know, these companies are like, you know, yeah, it's contract and contract to permanent. You know. After 6 months, or you have the opportunity, or something like that, and you know, it never happens.
Yeah,
contractors never get hired permanently.
I think Rob did, but Rob's special. I don't know.
The few exceptions, you know. Ugh.
I agree.
Thanks for calling, Roadkill.
No problem. Y'all have
one. Thanks.
I just saw a link on Facebook. It was through the ReaganCoalition.com, I guess. It says, Obamacare supporters on tape, supportive of mandatory euthanasia for seniors.
Well, of course they are.
It's wow. Okay.
They have
to. It's those debt panels that everyone said Sarah Palin was lying about.
Yeah.
She's
sorry,
crazy.
Grandma. Yeah.
Well, you know, Obamacare is doomed because the assumptions they made, they do this typical bullshit liberal thing where they assume that things don't change. They assume that people can't make economic decisions on their own. So they say, well, okay, national income is X. So if we increase taxes, we'll get X will get some subset of X, in you know, it'll will get more money in return, and they don't grasp the concept that people will restructure things so that they pay less taxes. So this whole thing, what they looked around was, and they go, oh, look, all these, we got a bunch of these young people who are healthy and don't cost much. We'll suck them into the medical, you know, we'll get them into the insurance pools, and they'll pay for all the poor people that mm-hmm. need medical care. Well, the problem is these kids aren't stupid. Well, yeah, they're stupid, but you know, they'll look at, you know, spending,
they're not that stupid.
They'll look at spending $12,000, $13,000, $14,000 a year on insurance versus a $2,000 tax penalty. And they'll go, right. Well, shit.
Yeah. But the thing is that these kids coming out of college that are getting on, you know, that they think are going to register for the Obamacare.
They don't have jobs.
There's no jobs. They're not making that much money.
Right.
It doesn't exist.
Yep.
So, I mean, there's failure right there.
Yep.
Damn it. Yeah. And they're all going to come to the library.
Yep, that's right.
Excuse me. Can you point me where the Obamacare forms are?
Did y'all hear about the guy that got the visit from the police because they searched for pressure cookers and backpacks on Google?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Michelle Catalano, who is actually a PJ Media blogger, the cops visited her house. And this is, I have a link here. I'll put it in the chat.
Yeah, don't Google backpacks and pressure cookers.
She apparently, well, her house, you know.
Don't click on that link either.
She said, you know, at 9 a.m., my husband, who happened to be at home, was sitting in the living room, and he heard a couple of cars pulled out. He looked out and saw three black SUVs in front of the house.
Oh, dear.
And they came up, and they basically, well, fortunately, they knocked on the door.
Yeah.
And they were giving him the third degree, you know, who are you and all this kind of stuff.
She's a conservative blogger anyway.
Yes. Yes, she is.
She's a conservative blogger anyway, though, right?
Right.
Well, that means that.
Swatted.
You know how the IRS, you know, made the Tea Parties go through all this stuff for tax exempt status. Well, you know that woman, I can't remember her name. She was the head of the IRS, blah, blah, blah. She came out and she said that these sorts of audits and all these paperwork things that they required of the Tea Party groups, she said that the process is the punishment.
Of course.
Okay. So she was punishing the Tea Party groups for being the Tea Party groups just by making them have to jump through all these hoops.
Yep.
Now, this woman with the black SUV showing up at her house because she Googled, you know, whatever. It has nothing to do with what she Googled.
Not according to the cops.
It was an excuse to put her through the process as a punishment.
Well, that may be. But they were asking the husband, you know, do you have any bombs? Do you own a pressure cooker?
Oh, yeah. Somebody higher up said, hey, so-and-so Googled for pressure cookers and backpacks and bombs and whatever.
Well, actually,
she was already on the list.
Yeah, what is more likely is that they didn't, because the way this NSA stuff works, it's not, we're going to dive into this. It is not the way it's been portrayed for the most part. They don't look at everything and then, you know, run it through an algorithm and have things pop out. It's not pre-crime. You know, they don't have the capability of doing that. What they do is they record everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then for whatever reason, your name hits the board and they go look.
No.
And they pull up whatever information.
No.
Yeah, that's exactly how it happens.
Okay. Well, you can think that, but there is like a list of people they are watching.
That's what I'm talking about. Your name gets on the list.
It's not like, it's not because of some algorithm.
No, that's exactly what I'm saying. It is not an algorithm. They are recording everything. And then when your name comes up on a list, somebody says, hey, go look at this guy. You're on Obama's enemies list. You're on, you're for whatever reason, you know, they have all your data there. They go to Google and they say, decrypt this. They go to Amazon or they go to Microsoft and they go to wherever they need to go to. And they say, give us the keys. We need to look at this person's stuff. They already have it. They may have it in the clear. It may be encrypted. But if you're, if you know, they get a warrant, they get a FISA court document and they go pull your shit. And that's how the system works. You know, and it's out of control. It's like, you know, and I guarantee you that's how this woman was searched. Somebody put her on a list and they went and they found something and they said, ah, her search records from her house are looking for this stuff. Ah, you know, terrorism. Let's go. Let's roll.
Yeah.
This is our end. So it's not,
we have an excuse.
It's not the reporting.
Yes.
The reporting is, you know, oh, Google pressure cookers and backpacks and get a visit from the cops. That I guarantee that is not what happened. So
yes,
feel free to Google backpacks and pressure cookers.
I just want to put this out there. Can you imagine the media response if a left-wing group had been investigated by the NSA under the Bush administration? Can you imagine? They went absolute bug nuts fucking crazy over Valerie Plame, the CIA agent that Bush outed for months. Yeah. Months and months and months. They hounded on that. The woman was on magazine covers, for Christ's sake, but he outed a CIA agent because her husband said there was no yellow cake from Nigeria, blah, 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 blah. And it was front page news. It was top of the fold, every newspaper. It was the leading story on every news website for months.
Yep.
Obama sicked the IRS on his enemies like Nixon threatened to do.
Yeah.
And hold on. Let's listen for the crickets.
Yeah.
Right.
Also, Jay, I'll note that when they actually hauled out the tons and tons of yellow cake out of Baghdad, that was like fifth page stuff, and most people think that I'm full of shit when I mention that.
Oh yeah, the whole they'll swear up and down. Oh yeah, they never found yellow cake, never happened. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, only like 50,000 tons of it.
But hey, you know what? Doesn't matter. What difference does it make?
All disposed of in Texas.
Yeah.
Did you dispose of the yellow cake, Alan?
Personally, I dumped it down the toilet and flushed.
That's awesome.
That's why they do no-knock raids, Alan.
Yeah, because you can stuff a pound of pot down your toilet and without it clogging up.
These little flush fuckers.
Yeah.
The old toilets, maybe.
Yeah. Gosh.
In my toilet,
it would work. Well, your toilet would work. You could flush a body down that toilet.
What's this could, Alan?
Yeah.
Where do you think Snotman went?
She probably.
Hey now.
I know we're running late, but there's one more thing I wanted
that
to
bring
up.
That has been bugging you all day. Go ahead.
I don't know about all day, but the New York Times reported today. This is in the New York Times, shockingly. The FBI has concluded that there was little its agents could have done to prevent the Boston Marathon's bombing.
Yeah, that one really bugged me.
The FBI says, hey, we couldn't have done anything. We couldn't have stopped it. There's nothing we could have done.
There was no way we could have avoided misspelling his name on the terror watch list.
Yeah. Okay, so I read this and I go, so basically what you're saying is all this Patriot Act, all this NSA snooping, all this crap is a waste of time because it's useless.
Not to mention that the Russian government contacted.
Yeah. Told them about it.
Yes. Hey, watch out for these guys. Yeah. And they were like, oh, what? Yeah. Who?
All this crap.
Man, there's a real echo from somewhere.
Yes, there is.
Sounds like me, too. I don't like it.
You mentioned that the Russian government... Oh, there's
is somebody...
What the hell?
Is somebody playing this on the...
These guys.
Microphone or something?
Jay,
What? What?
Is it you, Jay?
Turn off your sound, Jay.
Jay, Jay's, go Jay's sit in the
trying
night.
To listen to himself. So, yeah, so basically the whole point of all this stuff is so they can catch these terrorists. And now the FBI is saying, well, we couldn't have done it. There's no possible way we could have stopped these guys.
Really?
I hung up on him.
What?
Well, he's got him? Yes, it is Jay. He's trying to play in something. I don't know. Anyway, I'll add him again.
He's playing StarCraft.
Is he?
So you want to talk about Minecraft?
Minecraft? Stop it, Jay.
Sorry about that. You know what it was?
I accidentally,
when you've got the Skype window minimized, hang up is right next to mute.
Oh.
I hit the wrong button. And then when Alan and I kicked the audio on, and then Alan called me back. Oops. So there was this horrible reverb. Sorry.
No, that's okay. It was fun. Right. And I got to hang up on you. It was even more fun.
I am Phil.
It was funny.
Yeah. So now we have, we have Patriot Act, we have FISA courts, we have the NSA like grabbing everything and snooping through it. And it's all useless because they never catch anybody. You know, the only terrorists.
Holy crap!
Wow! All at once.
What? Oh, their excuse though.
Freedom first.
These government agencies, NSA and whatever, is well. You don't know the things that we've done. You don't know the truth. You don't know the terrorists that we have caught. That's their line.
Yeah.
That's right. We've stopped 50 plots from listening in.
Ugh. Right.
You screwed the pooch on the one in Boston, you stupid fuck.
You know, I can't tell you the truth. Yeah. I can't. You don't know the things that we have stopped. Yeah, well, you know what? 9 out of 10 policemen are wonderful and, you know, great service to the community, but people's dogs are still getting shot.
Yep. At the Black Hat Conference, the NSA director, General Alexander, said, if we make a mistake, we'll hold ourselves accountable and report it.
Yeah. Yeah, they
I mean, the dude actually stood up in front of all these hackers and said that.
Yeah.
If we make a mistake, we'll hold ourselves. Trust it. Just trust. Don't worry. Just trust us. We'll hold ourselves accountable. You don't have to worry about it.
But that's the culture in Washington. We're the good guys. Yeah. We don't know the good that we do.
Yeah.
You know, it's they have this kind of like, well, you know, it's like collateral damage to them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, some people had to die. You know what? You gotta break some eggs, right?
Yeah.
You gotta stomp on some rights. You gotta kill a few dogs. You know.
Yeah.
But hey, you know.
But it's for the greater good,
yeah,
right?
That's right. Yeah. Except it's not.
It's not.
And the FBI hasn't caught a single terrorist that they weren't setting up.
That we know of course.
No, the you ones.
Know. It's always the
yeah,
secret.
Right. Well, what? If it's secret, then it doesn't count.
No.
If you want to justify your existence to me and justify what you're doing to me with secret shit you can't tell me, then it doesn't count.
No.
And the TSA has never stopped a terrorist. Not one.
Please, the TSA.
The FBI has never caught a terrorist. Not a single one.
You know, using their logic, My rifles have stopped every tiger attack in my house.
Oh, ever. Shit. Not to mention the elephants.
Yes.
Holy crap.
They have. Congratulations, Jay. You deserve a raise. You deserve a federally funded raise.
That's right.
For killing those tigers in your house that weren't there.
They also prevent gonorrhea.
And stuff.
No, they don't.
I mean, if we're just going to make up shit and then say, I can't tell you. But trust me. you know, we're doing
also,
good.
I wonder how many of these plots that they've foiled have been like all the other plots that we hear about the government foiling, which is find some fucking dipshit in his mom's basement and say, all right, we're going to give you schematics on how to build bombs. We're going to give you fake explosives.
That's what they all are.
Fake detonators. And we're going to ask you to put them together. And then when you put them all together, we're going to arrest you. We built the terrorists.
They admitted that one of the plots they foiled was a ray gun. They admitted that.
Yeah. Every single plot that we know about that they've, quote, foiled has been, except for, I think there's been like two or three that weren't FBI setups. And those two or three were not actually solved by anything other than, you know, regular, normal police work, mostly by other people in other countries, like the British. They're like, hey, you know, they could have done, you know, if they paid attention to the Russians going, hey, you keep an eye on this guy. He's trouble. You know, if they'd actually kept an eye on him, they could have stopped him. And then they go, hey, look, we stopped him.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like the whole death penalty thing. When you think about it, because if they had ever in the entire history of the death penalty in the United States, if an honest to God innocent person had been executed, that would be the very first thing the death penalty opponents brought up every single time the issue came up. Every single time.
Well, it does happen.
But yeah, the best we have are, well, there was somebody who was on death row and found to be innocent. Well, you know what? That's why we have appeals and shit.
Well,
we touched on abortion. We had to throw in death penalty.
Of course.
We'll throw what in religion topics? Next, and then we'll be all the third rails.
Yeah. What else can we talk about that'll offend the shit out of anyone that listens? I can't think of anything else.
Transgender.
Oh, transgender. Dear. Okay.
People don't cut off your wiener. That's genital mutilation.
Hey, my body, my choice, weird.
That's right. And the government has to pay for it.
I have something
to
confess.
Uh-oh.
All right.
I'm really a man.
No, you're not.
Really a man.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
Okay.
And also on top of that, like, if you're, like, good doing the transgender thing, don't cut off your wiener because that'll like totally limit your interesting porn options.
Yeah. The number of trannies that you actually want to look at are so few, they're virtually non-existent.
You forget who you're talking about. The number of trannies I want to look at is all of them.
I said about regular people. The percentage of regular people I actually want to look at.
Yeah. Which is all of them. I'm sorry. I'm the person who's frustrated that I have not been able to find the uncensored Anthony Weiner pictures.
Oh, no.
I'm like, it's one of those. I'm really not all that interested in seeing it, but I need to.
God save us from biologists.
Who was it? Kevin Smith said on his podcast once that he'd watch any two people fucking he didn't care who they were. He'd just watch them. Just hey, look at that.
Like monkeys at the zoo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
no, I'm all for it. It's actually the same reason why I like furries so much. It's not that I'm into furry or I think it's erotic or sexy. I'm a biologist. I'm a field biologist. I want to study their habits.
Are you going to dart them and tag them?
I don't have to. They're actually quite docile and cooperative.
Oh, God.
You can tag them without darting?
That's the best excuse for a fetish I'd ever heard of.
As a matter of fact, Uncle Kage of Anthrocon bought me dinner. So there.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, my God.
That means nothing to me.
And you know what's actually really interesting was Anthrocon, which is itty bitty tiny. They've held their convention at the Pittsburgh.
Explain what Anthrocon is.
It's a furry convention.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
It is the furry NRA convention. Furry. It's a national convention full of like furries and anthropomorphized type people and all of that.
Nice.
I've never been, but I know the guy who runs it.
You should probably go.
It's in Pittsburgh. I don't want to go back there.
Oh, goddamn Pittsburgh. I hate Pittsburgh. No offense, yeah, no. Pittsburghians, but holy shit, your city is sucks nope. to drive in.
Not yet.
Oh my God!
There's no offense meant. Your city's a fucking dilapidated shithole. That's not meant to offend. That's a statement of fact.
Yeah, I like the little bum town that you drive by. Yeah,
it's I did like that. I also wanted to study their habits.
The bum town on the what?
Yeah. We were stuck in traffic, so we just watched the hobos sleeping under the bridge.
Nice.
I've never seen that much Night Train in one place that wasn't a liquor store.
We're in Beard's house.
or, like I said, a liquor store.
Oh, Lord.
It is that bad, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I can guarantee the NRA will never have a convention in Cleveland.
Or Boston,
yeah.
Yeah, that ain't going to happen.
Oh, can you imagine the NRA convention at the Heinz?
That would be awesome.
They actually might be able to get more than 20 protesters.
I don't know.
It would be the most awesome thing ever.
It sure would be, because I'd be carrying the whole time.
You and I'd be like the only ones there.
I'm sticking with Jay. He's my bodyguard.
Woohoo!
I've carried
we eat some chowder.
Get some chowder. Chowder.
Chowder.
Lobster.
Figure the beer works.
Oh, get that. Get a super beef.
What?
Super beef.
What's
that? Jay, explain super beef.
The Kelly's.
Yep.
Super beef.
Kelly's roast beef. It's like a fixture.
Okay.
Yeah, they come in junior, regular, and super.
Junior, regular, and holy crap! Do I have to eat all of that?
And I do because it's a sloppy, awful mess.
But it's beef, right?
It is a roast beef sandwich. When I first moved down here from Maine, I saw all these places that said so and so's famous roast beef, and I did not get it because everywhere else in America, roast beef means a couple of slices of roast beef cold on you know, maybe a piece of rye with maybe horseradish sauce or mustard or something like that. No, here in Massachusetts, they take a hamburger roll, they put about 4.5 pounds of roast beef that has been heated. And then they cover it in barbecue sauce and cheese, and I like to add mayo.
Oh, yum.
And you eat it, and your elbows get dirty.
Yum.
Oh, it's wicked good.
I would love it.
It's wicked good. And also, the roast beef places often stay open until 2 o'clock in the morning because people who are drunk and or high as fuck love roast beef.
Noted. But
anyway.
Well, all right. Are we done? I think we're done.
I think so.
By the way, NSA, I just mentioned that people who are high as fuck like roast beef. Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar!
You know, I started to get concerned when I first heard the
weird is Googling backpack in Pittsburgh as we speak.
I was concerned at first when I heard that the NSA was listening to Skype calls, and then I thought, well, fuck.
Are we still in the air?
We're broadcasting it, yeah.
Are we still in the air?
Yeah, we are.
Oh! Hi, people. Weird. How is the baby?
Oh, the weirdling.
Yes.
The baby is doing very, very good.
I saw her face. It's awesome.
Yeah, I saw that too.
She's totally.
She does look like you,
the weirda.
And Mrs. Weird's chin. Well, I don't know about the chipmunk chin.
The beard. The beard is freaking me out, though, man.
I thought it was a girl.
It is a girl.
It's a Mena.
Does she have her like a flannel shirt yet or no?
No, but she does have both.
I have them. Those Maine girls are all. Come on, they're all flannel shirts. And...
Yep.
Nice.
Yep. The good ones are comfortable
shoes.
And L.L. Bean gumshoe boots for all occasions. You wear them to church.
Cute.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I'm excited too.
No, I was reading her Ricky Tikki Tavi the other day.
Oh.
That's best. Awesome.
That's a good one. I love that. I like that story.
That's what was my personal favorite story growing up. Yeah, it's all about Mongoose killing snakes, going, yeah, I kill snakes because killing snakes is fun.
Tricky Tricky Tabby is badass.
It's a good message.
Yep.
Yep.
And also Dad saves his family by having a shotgun.
Yes. That's right.
He shoots the snakes with a shotgun. I love that.
Yep. It's a great story.
In his bathroom.
The boomstick.
Mm-hmm.
No, bang stick.
This is my boomstick.
Go fuck to sleep. I need that book.
Shop smart. Shop.
Go the fuck to sleep. All right. So go to iTunes, say hog, and give us a 5.
Yes, because I need to go the fuck to sleep.
Yeah.
Oh, and also, by the way, folks, just so you know, an 8, a bunch of equal signs, and either a capital D or
I'm not doing that.
That makes an ASCII hog. You can put that into the iTunes review.
Okay.
Actually, I haven't checked to see if we have any.
We've got 5,000 positive iTunes reviews.
Do we?
I don't know.
I haven't checked. Let me check real quick. Bear with me, y'all. Just a few more minutes.
Okay. We have pretty good callers for not having a call-in topic today.
Well, the call-in topic was call in and impress us. And,
okay, yep. Let's do that again next week then. We should up the ante somehow.
It actually worked pretty good. We have 20.
Yep.
20?
30 people online, I know.
We have 20 5-star reviews.
Ooh.
and zero of everything else.
Yes.
Oh, and by the way, we might see an upstart of this because I also mentioned the five star thing on the Road Gunner podcast, which is going to be probably broadcast next week.
Oh.
I was pimping Squirrel Report and other podcasts because you guys don't fucking listen to any other podcasts.
Sean says he will call in if Rita will wear some sexy underwear.
Oh.
I only wear sexy
underwear. Oh, don't be cool, Sean. Rita's not wearing any underwear.
Because they're on. I actually am right now. He says, sorry. He says, no underwear. Okay, fine. Fine.
How would he know?
I can just, that's true.
You just say it. Yeah, I'm not wearing underwear.
Rita, what color are they?
Right now?
Well, no, tomorrow.
They're white and they have multicolored stars on them.
Are the stars on the coochie area?
You're welcome.
And on that note, we'll go off into the sunset.
Okay, good.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye.